Well, it's my pleasure to introduce today Doug Bryant. I'm going to allow him to read the scripture as part of his introduction to his sermon. But before he does that, I'd like to just say welcome to he and his lovely wife, Cassie. Doug and I joked this morning that we both obviously have married up in life, done pretty well for ourselves. But I had a chance to meet with Doug at school this week, and he came into my office, and I said, "Doug, tell me your story." And he went. He went there for about 20 minutes, talked about his calling and his passion for Jesus and his passion for the young people in our community. And I sat there, and as he talked, I got more and more excited about the potential for him in our community and for the youth of our community and how he has a special heart for unchurched youth. And ladies and gentlemen, there are some unchurched youth in our community, and I'm so glad Doug is here. I'm going to introduce Doug, if you would come on up. Ladies and gentlemen, Doug Bryant.
Thank you, John. Well, before I read the gospel, I just wanted to comment at how filled I am to be in a mainline church that does hymns. When I first became a Christian, I became part of a Lutheran church. Don't judge me. And I think every song up here reminded me of those days when I was saved and came to Christ as a teenager and got plugged into the Lutheran church, and it's such a blessing to be here today. I don't know if it is your tradition, but if we could please stand for the hearing of the gospel. And the gospel is taken from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable: "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of heaven is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. The gospel scripture today was chosen by the mainline church calendar for the first Sunday of Advent. Advent, as you know, is the season for the celebration of the coming of Christ. And during this Advent season, we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ to earth in the form of a baby, over 2,000 years ago. But we also celebrate the second coming of Jesus Christ back to earth as the powerful King that he truly is. So when will he be here? When is Jesus arriving back to earth? And how long must we wait? I will have to admit that on my mother's side of the family, and I struggle with this, my mother struggles with being late, absolutely, all the time. Every time we would get ready for our Sunday morning church or some type of family engagement, it would always end up with my dad and us waiting for about 15 minutes to a half hour in the car for my mom. My mom would be running and finishing up some task, distracted and darting to and fro from one task to another inside the house. One time, we had to go inside of our house and find mom doing the dishes when we were supposed to be getting to church or some other place. And my father would be growing more and more red every second while we were waiting. Waiting is hard work. And this is true even if we know what time someone is supposed to be arriving. What if we don't know when someone is coming for a visit? I am sure you've all had instances in which you were forced to wonder why someone did not show up for an appointment, or there was some last-minute change in plans with a family member. One of my mother's sisters, my aunt, was famous for saying she would show up at a certain time and then change plans at the last minute without even giving a call. And this, too, would frustrate my dad to no end. It left us wondering exactly when she was going to arrive. When is Jesus coming back? When will he set things back in order? And what are we to do while we wait for him? Well, no one knows exactly the day or hour when Jesus will return. Jesus himself makes it clear in Matthew 24:36 and Mark 13:32. But Jesus gives us some signs to look for. Our gospel text says that there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity. People will faint from terror, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. If we look in some other texts, specifically Matthew 24:6 and Mark 13:7, we see that there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be famines and earthquakes. There will be a great persecution of Christians, and many Christians will be put to death. There will be a great falling away that will happen from our faith. The love of most will grow cold because the increase of wickedness, and the gospel will be preached to the whole world. The news these past few weeks has been less than peaceful. ISIS has been making headway with their trudging up fear in many nations, including ours. Their attack on Paris has left many, many of us in our first world situation shaky at best. I had heard earlier this week that it has been recommended that the world itself be on a global terror alert. So there is a lot of fear in our hearts for good reason. Recently, at a Youth for Christ Bible study, one of our teens expressed his fear of these events. During our prayer request time, he said that he was very concerned that there would be terrorist activities on the home front in America. He was afraid of terrorists affecting and killing those in his home, his friends, and his family. I concurred with him, but I felt supernaturally inspired by the Holy Spirit, because it did not come from me, and prayed that God would make us bold, and that we would not be so fearful about what is happening in the physical realm that we neglect what is happening in the spiritual realm. That people are going to hell every day because they do not have a relationship with our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is the war that takes greatest importance. Let's look at our gospel text again. Verse 26 reads that nations will anguish and have perplexity in the last days, and that people will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. Now, I am not an end times scholar by any means, or making the case that Jesus is coming this year or this month. I do not know. In fact, many people have been saying that the end times will come and Jesus will come again. There was one report that on May 21st, 2011, Jesus was supposed to come again. And that was my wedding day. And that was supposed to be the end of the world, but that was the end of my single life world. And I'm very happy for that. But I want to point out the attitude that Jesus says we are to have as believers during these times of anguish, perplexity, and terror. And that relates to us now and in the end of days. Clearly, the gospel text declares in verse 28 to stand up because your redemption is drawing near. And another response, Jesus says in verse 30, to always be on watch, that you may be able to, again, to stand before the Son of Man. Our response given to us in Scripture is to stand up, to be alert, to be on watch, and to be ready, to stand up for Jesus at all times. The whole attitude of this text is warning us that when the world is perplexed and anxious and filled with terror, we are to stand up for Jesus. In the Scriptures, it says, verse 34, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." Are you drunk on what the world is giving to you? Are you weighed down by the anxieties of life so much that it is affecting your walk with Jesus Christ? Jesus is clear that we are to be ready, able, and willing before he returns. It can be frustrating when we don't know when a guest will arrive for dinner, or that we think they are coming late. But our response to any guest should be, "I will keep the meal warm for them. I've got plenty to do before they arrive. I've got one more table to dust, one more carpet to clean, or for me, one more dish to wash, one more floor to scrub. I want this place looking great for my guests when they arrive." Standing up for Jesus and being alert at all times scripturally means getting to work. Our Advent time, our waiting time for Jesus, is not spent lying on a couch and looking at our watches, or for me and my wife, watching Netflix or Hulu. And that is all fine. But in the spiritual sense, Jesus says that we are to keep our lamps lit, which is a clear indication in Scripture to keep our hearts burning in worship for him and his return. Jesus needs to be first in our hearts. Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, as servants, to be ready. And if the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. Paul the apostle says to be ready in season and out of season. And specifically he says, preaching the word. We have work to do. Kingdom work. This is standing up for Jesus. Stand up from our lazy couch spirituality, and I'm guilty of this, and getting to work for his kingdom. This is one big reason why I do what I do, and why I'm here in Fremont. Did you know that there are 1,500 teens in the Fremont area who do not attend church or youth group regularly? We've done the research, and there are many great churches and many great youth groups, but we're still scratching the surface as to how many teens we can reach. Basically, they are not a part of a weekly Bible-based program that is feeding them the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. They are lost spiritually, and if they don't hear the word of God, they will not enter heaven. That is unacceptable to us as Christians. We are a part of a spiritual war in our community, and we join the ranks of God. I'd like to show you a couple snippets of things that YFC Fremont has been doing so far this year to help teens to embrace the hope and healing that can only be found in Jesus Christ. And this is by far not an extensive list. As you know, Fremont YFC has been doing much more than what you've seen here on the video clip. Fremont has been faithfully leading various projects in the area, including large lock-ins, helping with fifth quarter outreaches, leading Bible studies at the local YMCA, leading various small groups per week at the juvenile detention center, Bible studies in homes, and after-school programs. We are also planning some very large events this school year in which we hope to draw 50 to 100 teens at each event. And these events are in collaboration with several youth groups in the area. And all in all, an effort to build some consistent and healthy after-school programs for unchurched teens. We want to pour these unchurched teens into youth groups and weekly after-school Bible programs so that the 1,500 number can continue to go down every year. We simply want teens to know Jesus. We want to do three things. We want to connect with teens deeply. We want to connect those teens to Jesus deeply. And we want them to connect with the church deeply. So, will you help me in standing up for Jesus this year? If you take a look at the pledge card in your bulletin, there's a checkbox where there you can receive email prayer updates. And would you help us? Would you take a look at that? And would you help us to stand up for Jesus, for these teenagers, in prayer? One of the key aspects of Youth for Christ ministry is widespread prayer. And would you ask God today if he might have you volunteer in one of our programs as an adult leader or a small group leader or a person who is part of our confidential prayer team? I understand that there is an exit offering today for Youth for Christ Fremont. Thank you so much for that. Would you pray to God today and ask him if he'd want you to become a monthly supporter of Youth for Christ in Fremont? If so, please make that indication on your pledge card and return it in the offering plate. Offering plate. So, I have another video clip, and I think you'll be excited. If you look very closely, you will see John Roush, your own very John Roush, in the Sandusky County Detention Center. But let me give you some time during this video clip to fill out those pledge cards and to take some personal time with God for your response. If you're writing a check, you can make that out to Youth for Christ of Northern Ohio with a memo to Fremont. The memo to Fremont is important because this ensures that your money will stay in our city to reach teens right here. And you may, of course, take these cards home to pray as a family concerning how God would want you to respond. But right now, I want to show you this video clip that Youth for Christ of Northern Ohio, our chapter, put together. And I think it fleshes out a little bit of what we're trying to accomplish amongst unchurched teens in our areas of ministry. I entitled this message, Stand Up, Stand Up for Jesus, based upon the beloved and hopefully familiar hymn to you. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. In the supernatural, in the spiritual realm, would you pray and give your time, talent, and treasure to the army of God as we help to save these 1,500 teenagers in our midst. Amen.